Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. I pray that everyone's had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason. I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. But we are now on Commandment 7 in our series of the Ten Commandments. Last week, we talked about you shall not murder. And looking at what this says for face value, a lot of us can say, yep, check, I'm good to go on that one. I have not murdered anyone, which is a wonderful and fantastic thing that you're not out killing people. But when Jesus preached on this passage of you shall not murder, he took it a step further. This commandment to not murder is more than just a physical act, but also talking about how we feel about other people in our hearts. When our anger burns against someone, when we do not want somebody in our lives, or we say, you know what, I do not love you, Jesus says that we are subject to the same judgment as a murderer. We need to have love for all people on this earth, just as God has love for every single person that lives here. With that being said, the verse for this week is from Exodus 20:14, and it's short and simple. It says, "You shall not commit adultery." This is another commandment that seems pretty straightforward. This means to not have sexual relations while you are in a marriage and or with someone else who is in a marriage. And in today's terms, what we usually call it is cheating, that somebody has cheated or someone is cheating on someone else. And the problem with our culture today is that this is a very common occurrence. It's not illegal in America to commit adultery. There is no consequence or punishment when you cheat. And what's even worse is that sometimes in our culture today, it is encouraged to go out and cheat when you're unhappy in your marriage. If you're not finding happiness here, find it in someone else. That's what we're telling people. It's okay, just end that relationship and go to another one, because we want to go out there and make sure that we feel good and we feel happy. And sadly, this ends many marriages. The fact is that 60% of all divorces happen because someone was cheating. Somebody has committed adultery. And that's such a sad number and statistic that's happening there, because we know that a lot of marriages do not make it. They say it's one out of every two. I don't think it's quite that high, but it is high. And then over half of those are because somebody was unfaithful. And it's because cheating in our society is not seen as something that is so bad. It's funny to me, because if you were to say to somebody, you cheated, they'd be like, yeah, I did something wrong. But if you look at someone and said, you committed adultery, instantly it feels worse. Like, oh, don't use that word, adultery. That's so mean. Like, why would you say that to me? And it's the same exact thing. We're trying to dull down the truth of what is actually happening. We're trying to downplay the fact that someone is being unfaithful. But before we dive into what it's being said about adultery, we have to look at what God intends for our relationships. Because if we don't understand what God wants from us first, how can we know that we're breaking what God has asked us to do? So we're going to go ahead and turn to Genesis 2:15-25. Genesis 2:15-25. From the front, I read from the NIV Bible. If you'd like to follow along in the same Bible that I am using, we have some in the rows and we have a stack in the back there. If you do not own a Bible, please take one with you today. We will always give away the Word of God for free here at Buckeye. Let's go ahead and read Genesis 2:15-25. It says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die.' The Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals, all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them, and whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. So God made the first man. His name was Adam. Adam was created from the dust of the earth, and God breathed life into him. And then God gave him a job to do. I always love that part because as a guy, one of the things I like to do is have a job, a purpose, something to do. He was to take care of the Garden of Eden, and God gave Adam one restriction, to not eat, to eat from the tree of knowledge. And if you're wondering what happens with all of that, I urge you, take your Bible, read chapter 3, because I'm going to tell you, if you've never heard it before, it gets wild, okay? Things go nuts. Things do not go the way they were supposed to go. But that's not what we're actually here to talk about today. We see that God notices Adam is missing something. And we read a line that says, Adam then has a helper that is made for him that will be suitable just for him. There is some misconception of what this verse is saying about women. Verse 18 needs a breakdown of the original language. I talked about this in a couple other sermons about how our language and the original language, it reads differently. And when you read that a helper that is suitable for him, we think of someone below Adam. Maybe it's a supporting role or this is a side character. But we misinterpret what is actually being said here. The word that is used for helper in the original text is closer to the meaning the ideal partner. The one that will complement you. The one that will help Adam where he's failing and needs it. Adam was alone and was in need of a meaningful relationship for someone for him to love. And that is where we see woman was made as the perfect companion for man. And this becomes the first union of marriage. We see that it says where we have a husband and wife, and it says they become one flesh, meaning they're not their own anymore, that they're now one person, that they're equal amongst each other, and they're equal in everything that they do. They are to support one another. They are to be each other's one and only companion, and this is God's original design and plan, and we read it right here in Genesis. I know for me, I call my wife the better half. There are areas in my life where my wife has completed me. She has made me a kinder, softer, and more compassionate man. And the biggest thing my wife has done for me is she has made me a more patient man. One of the things that we always joke about in the men's ministry, is that we all need a lot of patience. It's something we all need to work on as men, and my wife has definitely tested that boundary. I want to say, though, I thank God that I found my suitable helper to help me through this journey called life. It's not that marriage is always easy. Some people think, well, once you find that perfect person, that perfect spouse, you're going to complete each other. It will just fit and it will be perfect and there'll be no trouble. That's not true either, okay? That's not how that works. But since the beginning, God made the union of husband and wife to be something sacred. It's to be a blessing. It's to be a beacon of how we are to love and work together. But as I said before, if you keep reading on the chapter 3 in Genesis, we read that everything changes because of the disobedience that Adam and Eve did. He said, "Do not eat from the tree." They eat from that tree. When they commit the first sin against God, sin enters the human heart and it enters into the world. And after that moment, sin goes throughout the world and it changes this whole world drastically. And this is when things start to head in the wrong direction with man and woman, with the union of marriage, and with everything in between. Things get out of hand, and the sin seems to run deeper and deeper as each generation is born into this world. As people, we love to give in to things that feel good right here and right now. It doesn't matter if it's good for us or not. In that moment, we think that it feels good. It's all about that satisfaction that we want right here, right now. And this goes from anything from the joy that we get from a really good chocolate bar. If you've never had Swiss chocolate, it is life-changing. I love it. It's amazing. Or maybe to when we go and we abuse certain substances because we want it to feel good. Or we go to abusing our bodies in different ways and shapes and forms because in that instant, it feels good. But we know that God wants us to live for Him. It's not about our desires and wants. We are told over and over again through the Bible that all of these pleasures in the world, we think they're going to help us, but they don't. All they do is hurt us. What they do is they keep us from God. They keep us from the only thing that is truly good. It pulls us away from Him and we walk in a different direction and we wonder why we feel so empty. God makes it very clear about what we need to do and what we need to stay away from. And God wanted to remind His people exactly what this looks like when it comes to sexual immorality. And so we're going to look at Leviticus 18, 1 through 5. Leviticus 18, 1 through 5. God tells His people what they should not be doing. We have to know this is many, many years after Adam and Eve. A lot has happened after this point. A lot of societies have come and gone. And God is saying here, He wants us to stay close to Him. So we're going to read Leviticus 18, 1 through 5. It says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Speak to the Israelites and say to them, I am the Lord your God. You must not do as they do in Egypt, where you used to live, and you must not do as they do in the land of Canaan, where I'm bringing you. Do not follow their practices. You must obey my laws and be careful to follow my decrees. I am the Lord your God. Keep my decrees and laws, for the person who obeys them will live by them. I am the Lord.'" If you keep reading past this point through the rest of this chapter, chapter 18, it goes through all different kinds of sexual perversions that God has asked us not to do. And the reason God is telling us to stay away from these sins is for one thing alone, and it's because we are supposed to be set apart as God's people so that we can stay holy and close to God, to not live as the rest of the world does in its sin, but to live for something greater, to live for the God Almighty of the universe. God here talks about how the Egyptians, if you look at the things they were doing, He says, "You came from there. Do not be like them." He says, "You're going to the land of Canaan with the Canaanites. Do not be like them." And it's the same thing for us today. We are in the land of America. God is saying, do not be like the rest of America. You need to be something different. You need to live for something more. And we see how they suffered because they give in to their fleshly wants and desires. God talks about how His people, and if you know the one true God, you have to know, you have to follow Him alone. And this is what God is asking from us when he says, do not commit adultery. He's telling us, stay away from these perversions. They may feel good in the moment, but they're not helping you. They're hurting you. So up to this point, you may be thinking kind of like you were last week. Awesome. I'm still in the clear in this one. I haven't done that. But just like last week when we talked about murder, Jesus preaches on this topic in a different way. Because it's not just about the physical act itself. It's so much deeper than that. So we're going to go ahead and turn to Matthew 5, 27 through 30. Matthew 5, 27 through 30. So this is a teaching from Jesus as he did his Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is trying to make it clear on what God's commandments are and what they're for. So we're going to go ahead and read Matthew 5, 27 through 30. It says, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. So Jesus makes it clear what he's talking about. There's no misconception. He tells them, you know what God said in Exodus. In Exodus 20, he said, do not commit adultery. And then Jesus takes it up a notch. But he says, I want you to know, anyone who looks at a woman with lust, you have committed adultery in your heart. And I want to make it clear here, yes, this is talking to men. And that's because men lust with their eyes. It's all about what we can see. It's all about looking at different things. But Jesus is talking to all people. This is men and women. Anyone who lusts after anyone else, it says you are committing adultery with that person in your heart. Again, this is the part where we sit back and we go, ooh, okay, maybe this applies to me a little bit more now. This broadens it. So many more people. And it's because we have to understand God is looking at your heart. God is looking at your intent. God is looking at what is inside of you. He wants us to be clean on the inside and outside. It is an awesome thing if you can stay away from the temptation and not commit the physical act. But he's also saying, I want your mind and your heart to be clear as well. And when we're lusting after other people, that means that we're not pursuing God. In those moments when we're lusting after others, we are pursuing others in our hearts and our minds and not him. This is why Jesus follows this up with, if your right eye causes you to stumble because you can't stop looking, because what's happening is you're looking away from God, it starts leading you into sin. Jesus says, gouge out that eye and throw it away. And it's because it is better to lose a body part here on this earth than to be pulled away from God and march ourselves to eternity being separated from him. Jesus then says the same thing about your hand. If your hand is the problem and it's causing you to stumble and fall away from God, it is better for you to lose that hand than to separate yourself from God. Now you may be hearing this and going, oh, I got some body parts to cut off. No, this is not saying that when you want to sin and your mind starts to wander in places that it shouldn't go, that you should just start hacking away. That's not what's this being said here. No. Jesus is telling us how severe it is to sin and how we need to not do it. How when we are sinning, we are being pulled away from God. As a society, we are too relaxed when it comes to our thoughts on sin. Yes, thank God for his love and grace. That's amazing. He did it in spite of us being people that do not deserve it. But we are not to keep on sinning. We are to strive to follow him closer every single day with our lives. If you have the struggle with looking, do not put yourself in a situation where you're going to stumble and fall. What is amazing, though, is this is a long list of don'ts. We got a whole, like, this is bad, don't do that. This is bad, don't do that. And it's true. I want you to know that is true. These are things that will harm you in this life. But what I love about the Bible is that we don't just get a whole list of don'ts. God also gives us the things that we should be doing instead and why we should be doing these things. And we can find that in Paul's letter in 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20. It says here, "Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body. But whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." I love how this starts out here because it just flat out says, flee from sexual immorality. All kinds of things that are lusts, it says that we are to run away from them. Not to just look, oh, we're going to watch it from afar, or I'm going to entertain these thoughts, but I'm not going to do anything. Instead, it says you actually have to run away and get away as quickly as you possibly can. And we find out why. And the reason is so deep. It's because this body that you have, this body is a dwelling place of God. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He lives inside of you. Jesus talked about the advocate, the one that will come and help you to walk in this life with you, and that is the Holy Spirit. We get to have God living inside of us in this body right now. And we are called to keep this temple holy for God, to stay away from such things. But then it gets even more real, and it says at the end of verse 19, he says, "You are not your own." It's not about you. It's not about your body and what you want to do with it. And that's because Jesus paid the price for your sin. We deserve nothing but death and punishment for our sins against God. But because He is a loving and amazing and wonderful God, He sent His Son Jesus to pay that price for all of us. And when He paid that price for us, what that's saying is, you are God's. You are God's beloved. You are God's child. You are His. With that being said, we need to remember this every single day. We need to honor God with our bodies. We need to honor God with our hearts and minds, as Jesus said it in Matthew 5. We all have moments where we stumble. We all have moments where we fall. We all have these issues that we've done, things that we've given into. And we have a God that is so good that will forgive you of everything that you've done. He wants you. He wants you to turn from those sins. And when He says, do not commit adultery, He is saying, do not look at others with lust. Come after me. Follow me. Love me. And that brings me to the challenge for this week. This week, I want you to remember something. If you claim that you are a follower of Christ, I want you to remember that you are God's. He wants you. He has you. He paid the price for your sin. You are so loved by Him. When you feel a pull to give in to any of your earthly desires, remember what He did for you. Remember how much He loves you. And most importantly, let's do what Paul said. He said, flee. Run away from those sins. Do not entertain them. If you're not a follower of Christ, I would ask you this question. Can you see that this world is broken? That there's something wrong here? That there's a problem? And I'm going to say, all of us can say, yes, this is not a good place. I'm going to tell you the problem is sin. And God wants better for you. God wants to help you. This week, I want you to seek God. That means I want you to pray to Him. I want you to talk to somebody who claims to be a follower of Christ and keep asking questions about God and His Son, Jesus Christ, because it is the most important thing you can do in your life. As we go through these commandments, I know we're rounding out the end here. Remember that God is asking these things from us, and it's all to help us, to guard us, to protect us, to love us. And it's all because He loves us first. He is there when we fall. He is there when we rise. He showed His love for us, His unending love for us. Now follow Him and follow His commandments. When He says, do not commit adultery, don't lust after people. Go for God. Let's go ahead and pray. God, thank You so much for this day. Thank You for every opportunity You give us to praise You, to worship You, to learn more about You. It's not always easy hearing Your words, but they're for us, and it's all because You love us. We know that we will have the struggle of sin. We know that there are things that we are drawn to, and I pray that we can flee from those sins. And as we're running from the sin, I pray that we are running straight to You, God. You're always there. You're an amazing God, and we love You. In Your name I pray. Amen.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.